Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a frenetic, a wild Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me, and we have all sorts of moves in the last hour. Great college coach is now going to Carolina. The Giants just hired somebody nobody's heard of. Cleveland Browns, no idea where they're going at this point, not getting the interviews they want, and Joy's joining me. Joy, crazy morning. Crazy.
Yes. I mean, look, it's the NFL. There's a lot going on right now.
All right, so the jobs are all filling up. Joe Judge just got hired by the New York Giants. I think the Giants panicked. I think Dave Gettleman panicked. This is a bad move to me. I don't know much about Joe Judge. I made two calls this morning and a text. All I know is this, is that New York City is rich and powerful. It's the number one media market, and it creates panic, overspending, overreaching, and insanity. And this guy is an assistant. He is not ready, in my opinion, to be a head coach of the New York Giants. I just feel it's a reach. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have talent, but number one, Belichick's coaching tree has mostly been a disaster. Why? Because proximity to genius doesn't equal genius. I could work next to Elon Musk for 10 years. His IQ is so much greater than mine, I'm not going to get bits and pieces of it. Andy Reid's coaching tree is excellent. Everybody works. Why? Because he is a mentor and a teacher and a big bear, and he puts his arms around you and he shares his knowledge, whereas Belichick's a genius and his coaching tree's mostly been a mess. By the way, what was the part of the Patriots this year that massively underachieved? Wide receivers. N'Keal Harry, the rookie. First-round pick, never developed. Mohamed Sanu, why'd it take so long? Tight ends, nobody's productive. I mean, to me, I think it's a big whiff. And I think Ian O'Connor's a writer in New York. He said it this morning. They wanted Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule at Baylor took the Carolina job. Matt Rhule worked with the New York Giants. He's from, I think, Long Island. The Giants wanted to interview him. And this morning, they saw Carolina give him $70 million. Not even talk to the Giants. The Giants started getting crushed on social media, and they finalized a deal for Joe Judge, who was potentially going to take the Mississippi State job, which is the eighth best job in a college football conference down south. So, you know, I have a theory on this. A's hire A's and B's hire C's. Gettleman's a B. Joe Judge will feel indebted to him. Joe Judge is somebody that won't push back. Mike McCarthy, no interest in the Giants. Ron Rivera, no interest in the Giants. I'd rather coached against them. Jason Garrett, didn't show a lot of interest in the New York Giants. I'm not sure if they loved him, but there's candidates out here. Urban Meyer, no interest. Matt Rhule was their guy. When Matt Rhule signed this morning at about 8 o'clock Pacific, the Giants panicked and hired a guy who at best right now is ready to coach the 7th or 8th best team in the SEC. I think this is what happened. John Dorsey, insecure guy, loud guy, hires Freddie Kitchens because he knows Freddie Kitchens feels indebted to him. Freddie Kitchens won't push back. I mean, if you're going to hire somebody in New York, why wouldn't you hire Josh McDaniels? And I think McDaniels is a tad overrated, and there's a lot of ego, but Josh McDaniels would roll his eyes at old-school Gettleman. He would push back on Gettleman. He'd say, we're winning championships. You haven't won anything. And so Josh McDaniels is a threat to Dave Gettleman, and so Dave Gettleman goes with a guy that'll listen to him, won't push back. He gives him his first job. He feels indebted to him. I don't like the move. And I'll say it again. So Eric Bieniemy is an offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Have you watched their offense for the last 2 years? By the way, the last time an Andy Reid offensive coordinator left, Doug Peterson, he went and won a Super Bowl. All of Andy's assistants work. I mean, John Harbaugh, Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, they all work. None of Belichick's do. So you got Eric Bieniemy, who had the MVP last year, has been key in the growth and development of Patrick Mahomes, and all Mahomes has done is be smart and mature and grow and get better. You didn't take that guy, but you took Belichick coaching tree, and Belichick's coaching tree is a mess, and you take a wide receiver coach whose wide receivers this year were the worst in the league. That's a panic move. That, I mean, you can see through this. This is like a used bar of Neutrogena soap, baby. You can see right through this thing. Gettleman's a B. He hired a C because they panicked. And by the way, I've been saying this for 5 or 6 years. Joy's heard this a couple of times. New York is so powerful and so big and so rich, and there's so much pressure that teams are a mess. Outside of the Yankees, the whole city's a mess. The pro sports teams are poorly owned, poorly run. They panic. They overreach. They overspend. And the Yankees are just in a sport with no salary cap, so they just say, Garrett Cole, here's $330 million. Nobody else can compete with it. Garrett Cole could have fit other places. No, I mean, half the teams in Major League Baseball, maybe 75%, just couldn't afford to even make an offer to Garrett Cole or CeCe Sabathia when the Yankees paid him $20 million more than anybody else could. So I got Joe Judge may be a fine coach, but to take a Belichick guy, not even Belichick's, Belichick's the best coach on that staff. McDaniels is the second best coach. Brian Flores was the third best, and he took Miami. Cross your fingers. Hopefully that works. But there's nothing about this move I like. There is nothing about it I like. You got one coaching tree in Kansas City that works with everybody, and they got a coordinator who's a former player who has been nothing but brilliant. And the last three guys that have left Andy Reid have all hit home runs. I mean, Matt Nagy, say what you want, has made Trubisky about as good as – we won a division with Mitch Trubisky. That's all I'm going to say about Matt Nagy. Won a division with Mitch Trubisky. Doug Peterson, boom, Super Bowl. And I had my questions about Doug Peterson. Beats Belichick in a Super Bowl. John Harbaugh, there's another Andy Reid guy. Maybe you've noticed. He coaches the best team in football. Everybody from Andy Reid works. Nobody from Belichick works. And you take the wide receiver coach? I just do not get it. Wow. And I think this is what New York creates. It's so big and so powerful and so loud and so rich. It creates this pressure and people panic. I've seen the Mets panic, the Giants panic, the Jets panic. Thank God the Jets didn't fire Adam Gase. I thought they were going to overreact and do that. I was like, God, don't fire Adam Gase. Don't cave. By the way, we've seen the Giants cave before. They caved on the Eli Manning thing. You saw what happened with the Eli Manning thing. The organization caved, and then they benched Eli, and they freaked out. And this is what has happened to the Giants, a once-proud organization that has patted themselves on the back too long. They're old school. Their GM's over his skis. It's yikes. Wow. Congrats to Carson Wentz and Mike McCarthy. That's who you get a face. By the way, let me shift to Mike McCarthy. He, it's easy this morning. Everybody, he wouldn't have been my first choice. But let's be fair to Mike McCarthy. He got all the arrows. He got all the criticism for the Green Bay situation. So let's go to look at Green Bay, McCarthy's last year, and this year without McCarthy. Points per game. Now, let's not talk about record and defense. Points per game. Green Bay didn't improve. Yards per game. Actually, they were better with McCarthy. Yards per play, they were better with McCarthy. Third down percentage, they were better with McCarthy. Second half points a game, adjustment points, better with McCarthy. Does that mean Mike McCarthy's brilliant? No. But what it means is Mike McCarthy is not a dope. I don't love the hire because it feels safe to me. He feels like Jason Garrett with a better resume. He's not really creative. He is a grown-up. His strengths are Garrett's strengths. He's a grown-up. He's an adult. He's got an even-keel personality. I think he has a pretty good eye for personnel. McCarthy's weaknesses, I think, are Jason Garrett's weaknesses. He can be get stuck into ruts. I don't think he's super creative. Hands authority to people on the staff that he probably shouldn't hand authority to. But let's not be crazy about Mike McCarthy here. The Packers' record is better because the Packers finally spent money on defense. And the Packers' defense is better this year because they finally spent money on defense. Don't blame that for Mike McCarthy. The offense in Green Bay slightly ticked down. It ticked down in total yards per play, third down percentage, and adjustment points in the second half. So I've always said Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers is not, sorry, cheeseheads, he's not the easiest guy to coach. And McCarthy complained for years that Ted Thompson wouldn't get him big-time defensive players through free agency. So, and I don't want this to be that Mike McCarthy can't coach. Just because somebody's not my first choice doesn't mean I don't think they're good coaches. Mike McCarthy is, and now we know he'll go 2-0 against the New York Giants next year with the Dallas Cowboys. So that's the good news for him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joe Judge takes the New York Giants job. Of course he does. If it's offered, you take it. I don't like the move at all. I don't understand it. I think there was better candidates out there. I'm not a huge Josh McDaniels fan, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of ego. He was a disaster in Denver. He's never done anything without Brady. But I'll say Belichick's coaching tree, Mike Vrabel did not coach under Belichick. So don't give me a Mike Vrabel thing. It's Bill O'Brien. Penn State got better when Bill O'Brien left. Fact. They got better when he left. And Houston, you watch them play week after week. You think they're well coached? I mean, they can't be that poorly coached. Or can they? Maybe it's just Deshaun Watson. But nobody looks at Houston and goes, elite coaching. You look at a lot of teams in the NFL, you're like, elite coaching. You don't do that with Houston. You think they're talented. That's what you think. You think J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, D-Hop. You don't think well coached. So I don't get taken, you know, Belichick's four. I mean, Dante Scarnecchia is probably his best assistant. Josh McDaniels second. Brian Flores was third. He's gone to Miami. Joe Judge, I don't get it. By the way, Tom Brady is now saying publicly, he talked to Peter King about this. He had a quote bang say, I want to play football. If it's with New England, great. If I have to go elsewhere, great. Brady is now acknowledging he wants to play football. He likes New England, but he would play elsewhere. Let me just say this. Even for great athletes, forget the average guy, but even for superstar athletes, it almost always ends choppy. Michael Jordan to the Wizards, Patrick Ewing to the Sonics and Orlando Magic, Akeem to the Raptors, Joe Namath ended up out here in Los Angeles, Brett Favre goes to the Jets, had one good year with Minnesota, then a choppy year, Emmitt Smith to the Cardinals. Your best, if you got your money, just tie a bow around it. Class, dignity, you know, Derek Jeter did it the right way. John Elway, Super Bowl MVP exits, did it the right way. Brady's not good enough to elevate average people anymore. We all know that. So, you know, he can't go to a rebuild. So he'd have to get the perfect situation. I don't think the perfect situation is out there. The Chargers are anonymous in Los Angeles. I like their personnel, but they've already got an old quarterback, and they're going to draft one this year. So, yeah, you'd have some young kid breathing down your neck. Tennessee Titans, really? Your brand to a 9-7 franchise historically? Colts, Giselle's not moving the family to Indianapolis, even though I think it's a perfect fit. The supermodel's not giving up her career to go to Indianapolis, although they have an excellent Panera Bread near the stadium. It's a fine city with lots to do. I mean, I think it's a perfect time to retire or stay in New England. That's my gut feeling. I've seen so many athletes, great athletes, unless there's a money issue, which there clearly isn't, you can wrap a bow around this career. Tony Gonzalez talked about this yesterday on the show. Is nobody questions if Tom Brady can still win games. He just won his division. That's not what it's about, according to Tony Gonzalez.
I wasn't who I used to be, and I knew it as far as an athlete on that field. I told you before how Jerry Rice, I was talking to him while I was still in the high, you know, feeling really good, and I said, when did you know that you wanted to retire? And he said, I'm going to give you some advice. Play till the wheels fall off. And that was Jerry Rice, and that's what Jerry Rice did. I did not want that. I didn't want that father that was taking his son or daughter to the game and saying, you should have seen that guy back in the day. He was good. That's not who he is anymore.
Listen, Tom Brady could end now with 11 straight AFC East titles, 11 straight playoff appearances, and 8 of 9 AFC championships. One team, one coach, GOAT, Seacrest out. That feels incredibly clean to me. It's like Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson retires, does one last great show, bye-bye everybody, and then he goes plays tennis. He's not dinking around on after-school specials and crappy, you know, stuff on goofy networks. Johnny Carson's like, Seacrest out, great career, great last show, let's go play tennis. I think it's a perfect time for Brady to retire. I'm not predicting he's going to. I just think I like – clean endings. I mean, I even get along with my ex-wife. I'm not a big fan of having these choppy, uneven endings in life. I like, you know, a clean, solid, dignified, indisputable, it's over, but let's look back fondly of it. That's I think it's a perfect time to retire. I think McDaniels is leaving. You've got assistants leaving. They're going to draft a quarterback to breathe behind your neck, and they don't spend any money on top free agents, so forget getting tight end or wide receiver help. I mean, Mohamed Sanu is about as risky as they get, so I think it's a real choppy place. I think your division's getting better. I think the AFC's got younger quarterbacks. I think the game is sort of moving away from him slightly right now. That's my gut feeling on it. I like the Tony Gonzalez way. Wrap a bow under that, put it under the tree, come back next year, open the present. Like, come back in a year and say, gosh, I missed the game. It's so much fun, but I'm glad I'm retired. I like the Jeter way. I like the Gonzalez way. I like the John Elway way. Much more than I like the Namath way, the Akeem way, the Ewing way, the Michael Jordan way.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I've known people in my life that are bad job pickers. And I tell young people, Joy, all the time in my business, say no, be patient. So this is an interesting, so a lot of people are worked up because Eric Bieniemy, African-American candidates, he has interviewed for Cleveland. But I'm telling you right now, Bieniemy's gonna get offers. I'm not sure I'd take the Cleveland job. So everybody's freaking out today. Eric Bieniemy is somebody I would look at strongly. Does he just take the job because it's the first offer? You and I have been in this business a long time.
It's very important where you go.
I think I've said this to you before. Not that you needed advice, but I've said it to everybody. Don't chase money. Chase good management. There's a sea of money if you're talented, okay? There's a sea of it. You and I know this. We've had a lot of jobs, and we feel lucky now at management. We've also had bad management. Talented people cannot overcome bad management. Belichick was fired in Cleveland.
Well, because you don't make the final decisions. It
no.
doesn't matter how competent or talented you are. It's going to get trumped by somebody who is not as talented or competent who has more power.
That's why in college football, because you control recruiting, if you're a good coach, they all succeed. Everybody, there's never been a great coach who fails in college. There have been great coaches who have failed in the NFL. Pete Carroll's been fired twice. Saban got fired. He's a great coach. Belichick got fired. Andy Reid got fired. In the NFL, it's different. Who owns your team? Tony Romo says this. Never been a guy. Go look at the dynasties. Been no bad owners and no bad defenses. We pay attention to quarterbacks. Tony Romo, go look at his career. Didn't have a lot of great defenses. You know, so you start looking at Aaron Rodgers has never really had. He had one really good defense. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. Okay. Peyton Manning, I thought, had one great defense in Indy. He won a Super Bowl. So I look at the, and I'm not trying to take a shot at Cleveland, but I look at these guys. Everybody's freaking out with Eric Bieniemy. And my takeaway is for Josh McDaniels and Eric Bieniemy, these are talented coaches who are going to get offers. Think about this. Be patient is what I'm saying here. I've seen this my whole life. Chip Kelly. I love Chip Kelly. I know Chip Kelly. Why did you take the UCLA job? That's the second best job in L.A. What are you doing? That's the fourth best football job in L.A. after the Rams, USC, the Chargers, then UCLA. Mike Dunleavy's a friend of mine. He once took a Clipper job with Donald Sterling as the owner. And I remember thinking, what are you doing? You just got to the Western Conference Finals with Portland. Just take. You got money. You're a smart guy. Take 2 years off. You'll get a job. I look at the, think about 1 year from now. 1 year from now in the NFL, if Eric Bieniemy is patient and if Josh McDaniels is patient, because we all know Cleveland just fires coaches. In 1 year, Atlanta, great owner and Matt Ryan could be open. And they're going to hire an offensive coach. Bieniemy's an offensive coach and Josh McDaniels is an offensive coach. In 1 year. If Atlanta doesn't win, Dan Quinn's got a year. They're going to hire an offensive coach. You get a great owner and a great quarterback. That's a great job. Houston, in 1 year, Bill O'Brien's quirky. You get Deshaun Watson, and a great place to live in Houston, and all sorts of skilled people. Belichick could bolt New England. I mean, he's going to be 70, right? So you could have Sam Darnold. That Jets roster, now they have a legitimate GM. Sam Darnold, Joe Douglas is a legitimate GM. They got all sorts of players. None of them don't have players. So I look at this thing now. Everybody's got you know, we've got a couple of really good candidates out there. Cleveland is so toxic. So toxic. If I were Josh McDaniels or Eric Bieniemy, I would just not take the job. And I'm not picking on Cleveland. The facts are the facts. Belichick's the last guy to get 5 years there. I mean, they just – and McDaniels is – remember, if Josh McDaniels fails, it's over. He did not take Andrew Luck, which I thought was a massive mistake. He wanted to draft Tebow. Massive mistake. He takes this gig. He'll make money, but he's a coordinator for the rest of his life. And Josh McDaniels – again, there's some Lane Kiffin here. He wants to be a head coach. This is not – I do not think Cleveland's a very good job. I would not take this if I was an elite candidate.
There's a little more strategy to it than it appears.
I'll tell you this. I think the Giants is an underrated job. I don't know Joe Judge. I think it's a bit of a reach. But let me tell you the New York Giants job. You have two very good defensive linemen under 25, Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, star running back. Appears to be a very talented quarterback on a rookie deal for three more years. Gettleman's kind of goofy, but he'll be out of there in a year if it doesn't work. The Giants' job, to me, is underrated. You got Washington perennially underachieving. That could be a couple wins a year. They have also a number four pick, the Giants do, and the three teams drafting after the Giants all need a quarterback, so you could leverage that to get multiple ones over the course of the next 3 years. I think the Giants' job, this is another reason I'm critical of the Giants. This Giants' job's a good job. It's got a lot of things you're looking for. Maras are stable. Daniel Jones is talented and cheap. Two excellent defensive linemen under 25, a star running back. The O-line's not great, but it's not a total rebuild. And they went and got Joe Judge. Like, to me, boy, oh boy, Joe Judge in Cleveland, I wouldn't spend a lot of time on. Like, it's like maybe that's all they can get. Maybe I'm nuts on this. I think the Giants' job, now Gettleman turned some people off. I get it. But he's out of there. The bottom line is, if Mike McCarthy would have taken that job, he'd have said, get Gettleman out of here. Gettleman would have been on the first subway, you know, out of town.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
A lot of you, and it really hurts my feelings, think I am negative toward Aaron Rodgers. I am not negative toward Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron can be difficult to coach. I think at times he's arrogant and condescending and not the greatest leader, but I think he is an all-time talent. I will say it this weekend, and maybe Aaron Rodgers hasn't been lucky his whole career. He's gotten every break this year. He wanted the coach fired. Boom, he's gone. He wanted the team to spend money on defense. Boom, they did. Chicago-Detroit imploded in their division. He got home field and a bye at home, and now he gets injury-ravaged Seattle without their running game. And if Minnesota upsets San Francisco, they get the Vikings at home and Kirk Cousins in the biggest game of Kirk Cousins' life. The other thing is they got to play the AFC West, and the best quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, they faced didn't play. And they also faced the NFC East, which was the worst division in football, which allowed them to beat the Giants and, you know, beat Washington and beat the Dallas Cowboys. They've gotten every break this year. Like, the excuses are done. All they have to do is beat injury-riddled Seattle, who now beats Philadelphia, flies all the way back to the Pacific Northwest, now will fly all the way to Milwaukee. So they lose a day traveling. And they're all beat up, and they don't have their core strength, which is their running game, which they, along with Baltimore and San Francisco, have really lived. They have great quarterbacks, but have lived off that dominating time of possession offense. Aaron's gotten a lot of breaks. Also, Green Bay, I think, is the healthiest NFC team left. And some of it's luck. Now, there have been years Aaron hasn't been the luckiest quarterback. But, boy, they get breaks. Beat injury-riddled Seattle at home. And then it's potentially Minnesota. And even if you face San Francisco, they humiliated you last time, which psychologically is at an edge. It's hard to crush somebody and then face them again and inspire your troops. Yeah, we rolled them by 30. They're really dangerous. That's hard to do. It's much easier to say, we got humiliated. We got revenge. They humiliated us on national TV. It's much easier to do that than, yeah, we beat them by 30. I swear they're really good. So this is kind of the year for Aaron Rodgers. This is the opportunity. It has been totally, for all those years, you said, Brady, home, bye, Bills, Jets, Dolphins, it's paved. This year has been paved for the Green Bay Packers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's go to Peter King, NBC Sports, via the Coward Global Satellite Network, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So I see a trend, Peter. Kyle Shanahan, long contract. Matt Rhule, long contract. John Gruden, long contract. You know what it says to me, Peter? It's like, listen, we want to empower the coach. You're going to make mistakes, but we look at New England, and we look at how they have been so formidable, and a lot of it is the monotony of repetition of the same offense and the same defense. So I like what Carolina did, even though it's a college coach. What say you?
I like it too, Colin, with just one little proviso. It's all well and good to give a guy a 7-year contract, but if you go 4-12, 4-12, and 3-13 the first 3 years, do you think that Matt Rhule is going to be back for the fourth year? I don't think so. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying that Kyle Shanahan was whatever he was, 10-22 his first 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, if Garoppolo plays this year and they're 4-12, do you think he's coming back for year four? He might, because Jed York really liked him. But, I mean, it's a good idea to show all the faith in the world that the Carolina Panthers and David Tepper are showing in Matt Rhule. And I think he's got a good shot. But I do just want to throw one slight bit of water on the fire here, Colin. You know, I wrote in my column on Monday that there have been 9 college guys, big college stars, hired in this century so far to be NFL head coaches. I don't include Bill O'Brien and Pete Carroll here because they were mostly NFL coaches who went to college football and then came back to the NFL. I'm talking about guys who were pretty much exclusively college coaches and then went to the NFL. And only 2 of the 9 coaches, okay, had winning records with their first teams. That's Chip Kelly, who was widely derided as a failure in Philadelphia, and Jim Harbaugh, who obviously was a success. But think of those who failed. Nick Saban, 15-17 in 2 years. And then he ran off to Tuscaloosa. So again, Nick Saban, when he took the Miami job, was absolutely, totally all in. Wayne Huizenga, I'm your guy. I'm here. We're going to build a great team. And after 2 years, he went to Wayne Huizenga and said, I want out. Yeah. So again, I like it. I like the faith shown. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the Panthers are going to be a great team.
Yeah, they got a Cam issue to figure out, and they got to draft quarterbacks. I think they'll stay with Cam. It's probably good news for Cam because a new quarterback, you know, defining one these days is not easy when you're, you know, you have 4 or 5 teams in front of you that want one. Let's go to the Giants. I actually think the Giants is a good job. I don't know if they made the right hire. They have 2 good defensive linemen under 25, Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, star running back, good pick. They can leverage for more picks. Daniel Jones on a rookie contract. I'm not a fan of Gettleman, but be that as it may, I think you have solid ownership. Joe Judge, to me, you know, I was saying this earlier, Peter, New York puts so much pressure on its owners that I think sometimes they panic, overspend, and overreach. It feels like Matt Rhule was their number one guy, got the Carolina job, and they go, okay, we got to get Joe Judge. I don't know. It feels a little bit like a reach to me. Is that fair by me?
I think it's fair. I don't understand. There wasn't anybody else who was going to hire Joe Judge. So you hire Joe Judge before you even talk to Josh McDaniels? And again, maybe they would have picked Joe Judge over Josh McDaniels. Maybe they would have picked somebody else. I don't know. But I find it very odd that the Patriots lose an assistant coach and it's not Josh McDaniels, who I've been around a lot and I happen to think is really, really good. But I think the one other thing to think about with the Giants right here is that this is not a bad job. A lot of people are killing the Giants over Gettleman and all that other stuff. But I can tell you, the time I spent with Mike McCarthy in the middle of December in Green Bay, He was extremely interested in the Giants job. He loves Daniel Jones. And so I think the Giants is still, even though they might be hamstrung by Gettleman for a year or two, I still think that's a good job. Any team that has a great history and has a long-term quarterback, that's the Giants. You'll figure everything else out, Colin. I still think that's a good job.
I agree. I want to talk about Tom Brady. So you've had a good relationship with Tom. He clearly respects you. And he is now acknowledging to you, Peter King, that I want to play football. You know, I would look elsewhere. You know, we never really heard John Elway say that or Derek Jeter say that. Like, yeah, I'd go and play elsewhere. There was a sense like I'm going to wrap a bow on it and retire. It's really interesting because I had somebody this weekend say, listen, Giselle's made a lot of sacrifices and she's probably not going to say, let's go to Indy. And that was somebody that really believes that it's not the big list you think where Tom could go. And he's not coming off a great year. Peter, there's just too many things that line up here, though. There's so much noise. I do give Brady leaving at least a 50-50 shot. I mean, I'm just hearing too much. House for sale, Guerrero's house for sale. It sounds like you think Tom could leave as well.
When I walked out of that room with him at midnight on Saturday, I thought that there's going to be at least a 50-50 chance that he'll leave. Look at what's going on, Colin. He made it known to me and to the press after the game that he wants to play in 2020. He was very strong about that with me. So he's not retiring. I mean, unless nobody's interested, he is not retiring. So now let's look at the options. You got Bill Belichick, who against popular wishes in Cleveland, benched Bernie Kosar. You got how he handled Drew Bledsoe when he came back from his injury in 2001. He kept playing Brady. So he's clearly not afraid to make a major decision with his quarterback. And look at it this way too, Colin, and I wrote this. I mean, you're Bill Belichick, and you know that Tom Brady might have a year, maybe two left. And he might not even be that good in that period of time. So you're Belichick, and you say, hey, listen, whether it's Jared Stidham or whether it's the fifth quarterback in this draft, you know, maybe we ought to just start over. However, and somehow, some way, I get the feeling that that's going to be Belichick's call.
Finally, you spent a lot of time with Mike McCarthy recently, and I think that article helped him, his drive toward analytics and growing. I think that absolutely helped Mike McCarthy. Are you surprised Dallas was the landing spot for the former Packer coach?
I think a lot lined up that was going to be right with him in Dallas. I think Jerry Jones wants a traditional football coach who he can just say, okay, the football is handled. I'll worry about the stadium. I'll worry about all the extra stuff. But my football team is in a good place with an established football coach. In some ways, it's like when he hired Bill Parcells. You know, he had had enough of Dave Campo and 6-10. And he's had enough of Jason Garrett, quite honestly, even though he absolutely loves him, because I'm sure he will say, I think we underachieved with Jason Garrett. So the fact that now they have an establishment football coach, I think makes all the sense in the world. And the one other thing I would say, if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm happy right now. Because the one thing that Mike McCarthy is a mechanics nerd. When I was in Green Bay with McCarthy, he queued up a tape of all the quarterbacks he's coached over the years, going back to Joe Montana 26 years ago in Kansas City, and showing all of the tape of all of these guys and quite honestly, how their mechanics improved. Not necessarily Montana, but Aaron Rodgers, his first year, he showed me Rodgers' drop, and he showed me Rodgers' drop from a couple of years ago. It was totally night and day. And so I think that is going to be a good thing for a young quarterback. And believe me, I know Dak Prescott, but only a little bit. And I do know he wants to be coached. McCarthy will coach him hard.
By the way, you know, it's fascinating to watch all the games this weekend. Absolutely fascinating. That, you know, Breeze, Brady, they're getting older, and you have all these young quarterbacks now. We're taking college concepts. This is sort of vague and ambiguous, but about a minute left. I don't remember a time in my life where we had all these exciting, great quarterbacks, a couple of absolute legends, then Wilson and Aaron Rodgers in the middle. I don't remember a time, and we also have three good prospects in college this year, two superstar prospects next year. I honestly believe it's the most talented the quarterback position has ever been in my life. Even the young guys, year two are exceptional. But take me back 70s, 80s. You have a greater sense of that. I'm just watching these games this weekend, and I'm like, Lord, there's talent at this position. Maybe it's all the 7-on-7 stuff the last 20 years. They've been taking snaps since they were 9 years old. What do you make of it?
I remember when Phil Simms left the Giants, and the Giants just really muddled around for a couple, 3, 4, 5 years. Dave Brown, Danny Cannell.
Yeah.
And there wasn't the inventory coming out of college football that there is today. Now Eli Manning is done. So what do? They go out and get Daniel Jones, who was not a popular pick, but in his first year showed a huge amount of promise. And I'll only make this point, Colin. You know, I find it very interesting. Has anybody said in the last 3 or 4 years, man, the NFL misses Peyton Manning?
No.
I mean, they miss Peyton Manning because he's a cool personality and all that stuff. But as a player, I mean, everybody's doing just fine. And I don't mean everybody, but the most teams in the league that I remember have promising, good, fun, young quarterbacks. And with the proviso, Russell Wilson wants to play till he's 90. So even though he's past 30, I think you're going to get at least 10 more years out of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck retired. We could have another great quarterback right now moving into his prime, and that was obviously sort of an outlier move. Peter.